We're going to read tonight in Philippians chapter 2. And we really appreciate all the good help with the fellowships on Wednesday nights. Different families are taking part in that. Last week we had this outrageous pot of red beans and rice and stuff. And thank Brother GR and Sister Karen for that. That was wonderful. Those were good red beans. Now, I grew up on red beans. They served red beans at our school on a weekly basis, because that's what you eat in large groups in South Louisiana. And other places have other staples. But so red beans, and you can't fake it. Good red beans are hard to find, and bad red beans are all over the place. And these were good red beans. So, and if you've been a part of that, we appreciate it. If you're going to be a part of that, we appreciate what you're doing. And to rehearse just a little bit, we have our small groups on Wednesday nights. This group has been broken up into several different groups. We may actually create more small groups, and this is to facilitate closer relationships. So the breaking of bread afterwards is something that's fairly important to this process. And it's important for this group that's here, but it's more important for the group that's coming. Everything we're doing with vision in mind and with growth in mind, and to create, see, you're okay if you've been around here for several years, you know folks, and you're solid, and you're doing well, or you've lived for God so long, you're self-contained, it doesn't matter to you if the whole world blows up and everybody goes away, you're going to live for God. But new people coming in, they need relationships, and they need to be able to connect, and so that's the forum that we're creating in these Wednesday night meetings. And I really like what I'm seeing in the small groups, and I also like what I'm seeing in a college career group. I can see this group gelling, and it takes a little while because it's a new thing for us. And I just appreciate you cooperating, and it's really interesting to meet new people, and sometimes threatening to meet new people, to get out of your comfort zone. But it's healthy for us. And as we do, we get a better texture to the social cultural experience in the house of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Everyone say, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. God bless you. If you love His word, as you're seated tonight, give Him thanks and praise for His word. We thank you, mighty God, for your word forever settled in the heavens, your word that never changes, your word, oh God, that we stand upon in your house tonight. Praise God. So Paul is teaching, and this is that same chapter where God comes down and robes himself in flesh and takes on himself the form of a servant and is the manifestation of God, but makes of himself for himself no reputation, but is obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And so he is humble and he is giving and he is others oriented and he is focused on the plan of God. And so Paul couches this teaching on both ends of that example of the Christ to teach us how to behave and how to live among the people of God with Jesus as our example. And so here toward the end of the chapter, do all things without murmuring and disputing, because he wants you to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. If you do this, if you live like the scripture suggests that you live, if you live according to the leading of the Holy Ghost, if you live according to the word of God, you will be like a light in a dark world. And that's one of God's purposes for you, is that you be light and salt to your world. One of the ways you do that, you don't just glow, it's behavior that he's talking about. But I'll tell you this, when you work in a hard work or a situation with It doesn't matter if it's in an office setting or out on a blue-collar setting, or it just doesn't matter where, because people are people wherever you go. But you find somebody that's kind and considerate, and they're generous, and they're humble, and I mean, they stand out like a sore thumb in this culture. We're living in an increasingly depraved, godless culture. Even among people who go to church, they don't live much church outside of a church house. And so it is with this in mind that Paul is teaching. Now, he's teaching people from a Hellenistic culture, but we have the same scenario, and it's so very applicable to us tonight. So what God wants is for people to see you and see the difference. That God wants you to show the contrast between the world and his church. Or if you would, give a little glimpse of heaven. You are the ambassador of Christ. You are the witness and the testimony. The apostle said you are epistles written among men. You are a story just the way you live. They notice, and some of you notice already, that when you're around, they don't curse as much, or if they do, they apologize to you. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. They apologize to you for talking like they talk all the time, but they know you're different. Ashley had an interesting experience. She's on the sixth floor at St. Vincent's East over here, and she works at the as an ICU nurse. And she goes in one day, and they're having trouble. They have a guy from a local lockup, and he's a convict, and he's really sick, and he is cursing and screaming and giving everybody a hard time. And they warn her. They're about to do shift change, and they warn her that this is a terrible circumstance here, and we're just so glad to get out of here, and he's going to be like this, and he's going to be like that. She walks in the door, and the guy says, "Oh, they sent me one with a skirt on." And for the rest of the night, he was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and if I could, and didn't curse, and didn't. Is that about right? It's bad to tell other people's stories, but if that's about right, say amen. All right, okay. Okay, he saw a difference in her. Now, I don't know what his background was, his church background or whatever, but he saw something different in her, and he responded in kind. The world sees, and I'll just go beyond that. The world is hungry for a change. The world acts like it acts because it thinks it's dog eat dog and everybody's getting over on everybody else and it's all competitive and everything, but they are really hungry. I've had a whole crew of hard-hearted, hard-headed iron workers down in an altar praying and blubbering like babies and receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized, and some of them are still living for God tonight. And if you walked on that job, I mean, it is filthy, it is perverse, it is just the most obscene setting culturally that you can think about. And when I was in the world, I looked like them and I talked like them and I acted like them. So I'm not some babe in the woods, unfamiliar with how they acted. But when I came back from getting the Holy Ghost, I looked like an accountant. I looked like somebody that didn't belong there anymore. When I was there before, I had hair down to here and a big old bushy beard, and I'd walk among them, and I was a man among them. But when I came back, I had a Boy Scout haircut, and I didn't cuss anymore, and I didn't fuss anymore, and they saw the difference. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. And our world needs to see the difference, and we need to impact them. They don't need to impact us. Our attitude needs to impact them. If you work among them long enough and you rub against them long enough, you really got to keep your prayer life up, because it'll wear you down. You'll get an old griping, murmuring, hostile attitude just like they have. You'll find yourself griping and murmuring and complaining on the job, and you bring it home and you start griping and murmuring and complaining at home, and then the baby starts murmuring and complaining at home, and the wife starts complaining and murmuring at home. And Paul said, don't do it. Don't murmur and don't complain. Don't be a griper. Okay. David said, Psalms 141 and 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Praying for help. God, help me that I talk like a saved person. Praise God. But your words are an accurate reflection of who you are, the condition of your heart, the status of your spirit. They reflect your attitude, your perspective. And every bit of that is a matter of choice. You can't give me reason enough to violate the word of God. You can't justify yourself for having a continual bad attitude. You can't justify having a mouth like a sewer just because you work around people that do. I don't care what kind of family you came out of. You're in the family of God now. I don't care what kind of culture you came out of. You're in the culture of the kingdom of God now. It's time for you to step up, to man up, to woman up, and be what God has called you to be. You've got to put a guard over your mouth. Nobody can do that but you. Jesus said, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. He just pretty much says, it is what it is. You know the tree by its fruit. If you're doing evil, you're an evil man. If you're cursing and fussing and griping and complaining, you got evil in your heart. If you're good, good things come out of you. It's real simple. Isn't that simple? He said, for of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So there's a loop there between the heart and the mouth. The mouth says what's in the heart. And it is a continual loop, because ultimately, if you can change what your mouth says, you can change what's in your heart. And so if you have a heart full of the world and a heart full of disappointment and a heart full of anger and everything else that makes people murmur and complain, if you have that, if you'll begin to use your mouth and say what God says and respond like God responds, your heart will begin to be filled with something else altogether, and you really will be what God's word has called you to be. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Praise God. Is there anybody that can say, I used to be filthy? My mouth used to be filthy. I was a griper. I was a complainer. Now, you know, people understand cussing, that you're in the church, you ought not cuss. But I'm just telling you, murmuring is bad as cussing. Maybe worse than cussing. Might be better if you just cuss and got it over with and didn't murmur continually. Murmuring is like David's brawling woman, like a steady drip on a rainy day. You know what murmuring is? Murmuring is like this continual low voltage. And it's like murmur. You can't really tell what it is, but you know it's not happy. And it never does it by itself. It always does it in groups. And murmurers are cowards. Because murmurers don't ever step up and say, this is something I have to say. Murmurers don't ever confront truth. Murmurers don't ever have the gumption or the gall or the confidence or the courage to stand up and say it. It always gets off in a little group and murmurs. Murmurers will lynch you. Murmurers will stab you in the back. Murmurers are the kind of people that got together on the night of long knives in Berlin, and because it was dark and because they had some governmental support and because everybody was involved, they broke the windows out of the Jewish businesses and they killed some people and they beat some people, and they did it in a group, but they never would have done it in the light of day by the power of their own courage, because they're murmurers. They don't really have courage themselves. You know what? God wants you to be a courageous person. God wants you to step out and say what God has said. There's no room for the cowardice of murmurers in the house of God. Somebody ought to say praise the Lord. My God, we don't have a place for murmurers in the house of God. I've got your back. You better have my back. Ought not be anybody out there. And we can freely discourse about anything we need to talk about, but we don't need to be off in little pockets talking. I'm talking about this because Paul's talking about this. I'm not talking about this because it's endemic in this church. I hear people say, the church is full of whatever the cause of the day is for them. But I'll just tell you, overall, this is a happy place and a good place and a healthy place. And I like being here and I like being associated with you. And I just want to tell you tonight, Paul was worried about murmurers. You don't need to let that get on you. You need to get on them. Somebody say praise the Lord. James chapter 3, we won't go into it all just for the sake of time, but it's a great passage about controlling the tongue. He says, verse 2, In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. If you can get this under control, you are walking in perfection before the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean your own sinless perfection. That just means if you get this in control, you can obey the word of God. You're not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to offend anybody. You're not going to damage anybody. You're going to be praising God. You're not going to be cursing anybody. And so in your behavior and in your performance, you will have been perfect. So you bridle your tongue, you're able to bridle the whole body. You want to control yourself. You want to be better in some areas of your life. You want to be more productive in the kingdom of God, more productive in relationship with your home, with your family, with your children and all that. You get your mouth in control. You're able, the Bible says, to control the whole body. Praise God. And he likens it to putting a bit in the horse mouth. That's a big animal, but you can take it anywhere with that little bit. The mouth is so very important. He likens it to the rudder on a ship. And he says that captain, that governor, he calls him here, can make it go where he wants. He can control it with that little rudder compared to the body of the ship, very small, but it can set the destiny. You know what your mouth does? Your mouth sets the destiny, sets the way before you, controls your trajectory, where you go, how far you go, how successful you will be as you go. All of that is going to be controlled by your tongue. And if you continually say, I can't, it won't, well, you won't be able to, and it won't. If you continually speak negative things, it's always going to be negative in your life. You need to begin to say what God says. You may not believe it. You may not feel like it. You may not see it. But the place you start getting better is when you step out and begin to say what God has said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is anything too hard for God? No, nothing's too hard for God. God can do whatever I need him to do. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise God. So the tongue in control can set and establish the trajectory of your life and send you on your way to serve God. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, Paul says again, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. He's talking about back in the wilderness wandering as they came out of Egypt. They were murmurers. Jude talks about them. Jude 1 and 15. These are murmurers, 1 and 16, complainers, walking after their own lust. Murmuring and complaining comes up when you have a grievance against whatever's going on. Someone you're with, someone you're working for, and they're not in agreement with you, but your own lust is propelling you to be a murmurer and a complainer. Israel in the wilderness, the psalmist talks about it, Psalms 106, 24. Yea, they despise the pleasant land, they believe not his word. Why do people in church murmur? Because they don't find joy in the kingdom of God, and they don't believe the word of God. If you're complaining, here's the analysis. You don't enjoy the kingdom of God. You're not finding your joy there. You're looking for joy somewhere else. Here's a news flash. There is no joy in other places. You have to find your joy in the kingdom of God. You've got to take your joy in God. He never fails. He'll never let you down. He never breaks his word. Everybody else you're dealing with is human. They're going to let you down. They're going to fail. They're going to be imperfect. They're going to be incomplete. Find your joy in the things of God. And then move out from that core into other relationships and find joy where you can there. But don't be dependent on others. Because the most wonderful person in your life can up and die on you. They don't mean to, they don't want to, but if they do, that takes a lot of your joy. You've got to have a core of joy in the kingdom of God. Praise God. So he says they despised the pleasant land and they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents. They didn't come out and talk about it openly again. Murmurers are cowards. And hearkened not to the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them. God hears it, and God doesn't like it. Lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. They were murmuring and complaining, and God heard. You know, God hears you when you murmur and complain. And this is, you know, the kingdom of God is hierarchical. Man, woman, children, whatever your circumstance. Most of us work for someone else. Most of us work with someone else. We've got people around us all the time. And it is the nature of your flesh to want your way and to think a better way. And so it is the easiest thing in the world to fall into griping and complaining about your boss, about your coworkers, about the conditions on the job, about your husband, about your wife, about your kids. You know what? Complaining and murmuring never changed anything, never helped anything, never accomplished anything. The Bible doesn't give us the names of any of the people that destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. But it gives you all of the names of those who built it. Be a builder. Be a person that sees solutions. Be a person that offers solutions. Don't just be a complaint never did anything, never built anything, never solved anything, never helped anything. Be a solution-oriented person. They complained, and the Lord heard it. And the mixed multitude that was with them, verse 4, fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." They were wishing they were back in the world. They were celebrating and memorializing what they did. And you talk about put a knife to your throat. "Oh, I remember the good old days when I was out with whoever, out in the street and out in the bar and out, and we used to do this and we used to have so much fun. Now I'm in the church and everything's a drag and they don't have any fun and they don't know what." Listen, you better shut your mouth. You better find yourself a place to pray. What's happening to you? Somebody's got your eyes turned away from the... I'll just tell you this. The best day of my life was when I walked in an apostolic church. I got the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I look around my life right now. I can tell you the history of all of those I used to run with, and a lot of backsliders among them. And there's no happy stories there. There's no pleasant endings there. I'll just tell you this. If I'm walking with the people of God and we're walking through a valley, I'm going to walk through the valley with the people of God. I'm not going back to Egypt. If I'm walking with the people of God and walking in the Word of God and I walk through a dry time, then God thinks I need a dry time. God's going to dry up the heavens. I'm going to still praise Him. You understand that is the nature of faith. That you've got to continue to praise God in the middle. When you break down and you begin to be a murmurer and a complainer, you're saying, "I don't like where God's taking me. I don't like what God's doing with me. I don't like the people of God. I don't like the system of God. I don't like the plan of God." You need to slap yourself. You need to wake yourself up. You need to get up from where you are and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here we are in a wilderness. I'm loving this wilderness because I'm in the presence of God. I'm loving this valley because I'm with the people of God. I'd rather be in the valley with the people of God than out somewhere running around with the world." I just got to tell you that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. "Who shall give us flesh to eat? Now our soul is dried away. There's nothing here but this manna." Let me tell you something. You get tired of the Word of God. Nothing wrong with the Word of God, and nothing has changed. But you've not done the basic maintenance necessary to keep your soul alive. Because your spirit, man, woman, your spiritual quality has a desire for the things of God. I can just tell you this. You've been feeding your flesh and you haven't been feeding your spirit. If you've turned into a murmurer, you are as carnal as a brick. If you're a murmurer and a complainer, you are very far away from personal revival and the Spirit of God flowing like a river in you. Because if you remember, when you really got the Holy Ghost and when you really prayed through and when the Word of God really moved in the house and you really had a shakedown and a moving of God, you loved everybody, you were ready to repent, you wanted to hug everybody, and everything's so wonderful, the church is so wonderful, and God's so great. But when you got carnal again, these people, these crazy church people, you know, and you can take your own pulse. You can gauge your own level of spirituality. I wish God had given us a big red gauge, kind of a fill-up line on our side there. We could go, oh, I'm half full, half empty, whatever. I need to fill up again. But that's a scary proposition, because if you're not full of the Spirit, you're not going when the trump sounds. Check the parable of the virgins. Oh, okay. Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Numbers 14, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? You know, if you're murmuring about your job and your boss and all the people around you, you're saying, my God is not sufficient for me. And I don't like where God has me. And I don't like what I'm doing. What's a better solution to that? What should you be doing? You should be praising him. You should be thanking him. You should be worshiping him. You should be praying for revival where you are. If you want out of there, praise your way out of there. If you want a better situation, praise your way into a better situation. But I can just tell you this. They were going in circles in the wilderness, and God said, you're going to go in circles. You're going to die here. You know why they died in the wilderness? Because they said continually, we're going to die in this place. And God said, well, I heard you, so you're going to die in this place. He said, you said my children, our children are going to die in this place. And he said, just to spite you, I'm going to save your children and they're going to enter in. But you're not. Every last one of you are going to die right here in the wilderness. And it was because of what they said. The spies went into the land. Two of them we know. The others, we don't know. If you held a gun to our head, we couldn't tell you the names of the ones that came back with the bad report. Unless somebody just has a weird twist and you memorized them. Why don't we know them? Because they were negative and they died. Why do we know Joshua and Caleb? Because they were godly and God memorialized them and God made champions out of them. And the only thing those two groups did differently, the 10 brought back a bad report. They murmured, we can't do this. We're not able. And what they were saying was, God is not able. And Joshua and Caleb said, everything they said is true. The giants are in the land, but God is able. We can do this. And the difference between them was what they said with their mouth. Remember, it sets the course. It sets your trajectory. It opens up the possibilities of God moving in your life. And God hears it. And God will not work with a griper and a complainer and a murmurer. You will not break out of your present condition by griping and murmuring and complaining. You know what the kingdom of God is about? Building. Building people. Building up the kingdom of God. Good things to say about everybody. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. Paul says, unless it's good for edifying, don't let it come out of your mouth. You should be a builder. You should be a builder of the church and a builder of your family and a builder of the house and a builder of your friends and a builder of the people around you. Praise. It doesn't cost you anything to stop by somebody on the job and say, you know, I just noticed you did great work. You did a good thing there. Or stop by a young person here at church and say, I really appreciate the way you worship. And I appreciate your faith. I always see you here. You're always here. I appreciate the way you approach the things of God. It doesn't cost you anything to build somebody. But you've got to get out of yourself. You got to get out of being so self-oriented or self-focused. And that's what murmuring and griping come out of. They come out of an ingrown, egocentric approach to life that doesn't really see other people or think about them and cannot think beyond their own attitude or ideas to imagine that God is really who he says he is. Praise God. We're going to stop because we got to go and see what somebody cooked tonight. You get great leadership in the Word of God when Job is crushed and in one day loses everything. The Bible says a remarkable thing about Job. It says that he, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. And in the end of chapter 2, when he's gone through round 2 and his life is just crushed by the hand of the enemy, it says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God gave, God took away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. His wife said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, you speak like one of the foolish women. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil also? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips unto God. You know what he said? I belong to God. Stuff's happening to me. God knows about it. I'm not going to be found complaining about it. That is consummate trust. That's the consummate expression of faith. You tell a lot about a person in how they treat weak people, people that work for them, people that are physically weaker than them. You can tell a lot about a person. Murmurers are usually bullies. They're not only cowards. If you're a murmurer here tonight, I'm really beating you up. But you need beating. God loves you and I love you. Sure don't love all that murmuring. God's going to hurt you. God's going to hurt you. And it'll be good for you. Okay. Are you okay? Proverbs 18, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. What does that mean? That means I offend you, and then I want to win you, or God wants to use you, or someone wants to reach you, or there's something for you to do, but you've been offended. And now it says, his contentions, his words are like the bars of a castle. Not the offense is like the bars. Not the thing that happened to you, but the way you're responding to it. The words of your mouth are like the bars of a castle. Nobody can get in and you can't get out. Your murmuring and complaining binds you up. You're imprisoning yourself by the words of your mouth. And nobody has the key to that prison but you. You're the only person that can break down the bars because you've got to change the dialogue. You've got to stop whatever you've been doing and you've got to start saying what the Word of God says. Praise God. I want us to take just a minute or two. And David prayed, Lord, let my thoughts, let my meditations, let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you. I want us to pray something like that. If you've been griping and complaining for a long time now, you just really need to lay that out before God. And if somebody's sitting by you, don't listen to them when they say, God have mercy on me, a griper. Oh, let me tell you a funny story before we pray. I used to pick up two little old ladies on the way to church. That was one of my early jobs in the church. And so I'd go pick up old Sister Gomez, and I'd go pick up Sister Parker. Now, Sister Parker was a giant of faith, wonderful lady, just powerful woman of God. And Sister Gomez was faithful at church, but she griped all the time, complained and griped, and she would meet me at the door. I came to get her on my dime and pick her up and take her to church, and she'd be griping at me about something, you know. So I blow it off. I mean, it wasn't a deal to me. I just tell her, okay, Sister Gomez, don't bump your head when you're getting in, you know. And she was good enough to laugh about it and all. But Sister Parker would start doing something like singing a song. Sister Gomez would be over there. And Sister Parker would start singing, there won't be no gripers in heaven. There won't, and she'd just start singing this little ditty. She'd just make it up as she went. And it was a trip dealing with them. It was a very good learning experience for me. And I have very warm memories of both of them. I hope they both have made it to heaven. One did, I know. The other, I'll have to wait till I get there. Let's pray. Ask God to help us. Mighty God, we love you and we give you all praise and thanks. God, help us that the meditations of our hearts, the words of our mouth, the deeds of our lives, oh God, would be pleasing to you. Help us, oh God, to be builders, Lord. Help us to build up everyone around us. Help us to remember you, to walk in faith, to speak faith, oh God. Help us, God, to be positive and solution-oriented in everything that we do. Help us, mighty God, not to be a drag, not to be a negative, not to be an underminer, not to be a murmurer, oh God. Just help us. Cleanse us from everything that's not like you. Teach us, oh God. Show us your ways. Help us, mighty God. We pray that you would in the name above every name. Amen, amen, amen.